الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Viewers of Madani Channel, those present in the Global Madani Markaz Faizan-e-Madina and especially those devotees of Ghaus-e-Azam from Tindo Jam District Zamzam Nagar, Babul Islam, Pak Amjadi Kabina and Texela District Rawalpindi, Pak Makki Kabina. Blessings of Salat and Salam, printed by Maktabatul Madina. On its page number 4, the following hadith pak has been narrated, saying of Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, the one who recites salat upon me due to my love and devotion 3 times during the day and during the night, then it is upon the mercy of Allah Almighty to forgive his sins of that day and night. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم صلى الله تعالى على محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم صلى الله تعالى على محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم
Baba, you recited Durood 3 times. What's the wisdom behind it?
To act upon this blessed hadith, the glad tiding is for reciting it 3 times, isn't it? So usually Islamic brothers do get to read it 3 times during the night time. I've read it together. What if death approaches and you can't read it? So read it now. Don't delay the work. Rush towards piety. Everyone should recite it. Alhamdulillah. Tonight is the 9th night of the month of Sheikh Abdul Qadir. Rabi'ul Akhir. 1437 Hijri. Keep making righteous intentions. Those that you keep remembering. For instance, like, I will attend and participate in the Madani Muzakara from beginning till end and acquire the knowledge of Deen. I will avoid the obstacles that come in the way of learning Ilm Deen. I'll avoid leaning, as leaning against something is forbidden whilst knowledge of deen is being taught. Similarly, I'll avoid from walking here and there and gazing around. I won't look for myself on the screen, and in case I'm seen on the screen, I won't become overjoyed or start pointing. I won't check to assure whether it is me or not. Instead, I lower my gazes and normalize myself so that I don't lose the essence of the Islamic knowledge. I'll remain patient if someone pushes me. I'll refrain from staring, quarreling, and scolding. I won't laugh inside the masjid. I'll only smile. I won't laugh out loud. Neither would I raise my voice. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Please ask questions. It's not necessary that I'm able to reply every question, and that too correctly. If possible, I'll try to reply it. If you find me making mistake, reform me straight away. You won't find me beating around the bush and sticking unnecessarily to my opinion. Instead, you'll find me thankful to you and rectifying myself.
I am the head of a private organization in Lahore. I have a few questions for Mir Ahle Sunnah. Firstly, it is said that Shaitan did not do sajda to Allah Almighty. What was the reason for him not to do the sajda? Besides this, it is said that this world is a pastime. What does this mean?
Shaitan did not prostrate. It is mentioned in the Holy Quran. So this fact has been mentioned in the Quran. It's not a rumor. He refused to prostrate. Aba wastakbara. I.e. he refused it and boasted upon. You've asked the reason. He boasted upon himself and said that, "You created me with fire," and created him, i.e. Adam alayhi salam, with clay. So he performed arrogance, considered himself superior than Adam alayhi salam. So Allah Almighty became displeased and said, فَخْرُجْ مِنْهَا فَإِنَّكَ رَجِيمٌ وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكَ لَعْنَتِي إِلَى يَوْمِ الدِّينِ. Translation from Kanzul Iman: so exit from heaven, for you have been outcast, and indeed my curse is upon you till the judgment day. So arrogance destroyed the shaitan. And the second part, that this world is a pastime. What does it mean? One meaning of this is that time passes quickly in pastime and useless activities. So the time of this world as well passes very quickly. For example, as we are sitting over here today, if we remain alive tomorrow, then we'll think that we were sitting here like this yesterday as well. Days and nights come and go. Our life ends in the same heedless state. So Quran has referred to this world as a pastime. Para 7, Suratul An'am, verse number 32. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَعِبٌ وَلَهْوٌ وَلَلدَّارُ الْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لِلَّذِينَ يَتَّقُونَ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Translation from Kanzul Iman: the life of this world is nothing except a pastime and sport, and undoubtedly the abode of the hereafter is better for the pious. So do you not have sense? Regarding the part of the verse, life of this world, Khazainul Irfan states, i.e. the commentary of this verse is, it is not immortal, i.e. it will not exist forever. So it's mortal, it passes quickly. And no matter if believers perform virtues and submissiveness in this world, still these actions are from the actions of the hereafter. As for the other part of the verse, it is stated that it proves that أَعْمَالِ مُتَّقِينَ, i.e. the virtuous acts of the pious people, the deeds of the pious people, everything except these in this world are pastime and meaningless, all useless. وَاللَّهُ تَعَلَىٰ أَعْلَمُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَعْلَمُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَصَلَّ اللَّهُ تَعَلَىٰ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمُ صُلُّوا عَلَىٰ الْحَبِيبِ صُلَّ اللَّهُ تَعَلَىٰ عَلَىٰ مُحَمَّدٍ.
I've got a question in the court of Amir al-Sunnah that you have been conducting Madani Muzakara since a long time. So how did you get so much knowledge? And why you keep these Islami brothers sitting along with you in Madani Muzakara? You are kindly requested to bless me with the answer.
May Allah accept and grant us sincerity. Obviously, we seek advice from Muftiyan-e-Karam. They stay with us to ensure that we don't make any mistake. May Allah give us sincerity. So whatever I state is not from my own intellect. Rulings are not deduced from one's own intellect. We state them by referring to books, or we state them after referring to the scholars. We seek guidance. I seek some information from Al-Madinatul Ilmiyah at times when I receive questions in advance. I take information from them and read it out or mention it verbally after looking at it. I get hold of the fatwas and answers and then go through them once, which at times I remember and mention them. So this is how our Madani Muzakara is conducted. We don't claim that we are the biggest of the scholars or the biggest of the muftis. Nothing of such sort. By Allah, our success lies only if we are accepted as the beggars of Medina. After all, Medina holds attraction, isn't it? مدینہ اس لیے عطار جان و دل سے ہے پیارا کہ رہتے ہیں میرے آقا میرے سرور مدینے میں. صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد.
My question to Amir Ahl Sunnah is, it has been observed that the books you own that are given to you for the purpose of distribution, but for those books you always inquire that have they been taken into possession or not. So why are you so sensitive about it? Please bless me with the answer.
We shall have this mindset. As if someone entrusts us with something, then we cannot write anything on it. We cannot harm it at all, in any way. We can't turn any page of it. Neither can we turn its corner. And nor can we draw a line. Nothing at all. It shall remain safe, as it belongs to someone else. You can't use it without his permission. You can't presume that he won't say anything to you. It is possible that he doesn't say anything out of courtesy. So problems are not resolved with presumptions. Logic of Imam Azam will be valid, not mine or yours. We are the followers, not Imam. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
What is the method and precautions while washing hands with soap? Please mention.
It's a very good question. A lot of water is wasted even when washing hands with this soap. It is a normal practice nowadays. That's why I mentioned it. For example, one holds the soap in his hand and fully opens the tap and wasted a lot of water. So method of washing hands with the soap is that first place the soap in your palm, in the right palm, and open the tap slightly. Let few drops fall on it. I'm stating what I try to do. So few drops shall be made to fall on it. And now, rub the hands with the tap closed. So shut the tap first. And now, rub the soap on the hands. So if you use so much of water and rub your hands, you'll still be able to wash them. But a lot of water will get wasted. So this is the method of washing hands with this soap, that even in this method, water shall not be wasted. Water shall not be used excessively anywhere. After using the soap, often what people do is, in most of the cases, people leave soap in the water. In the wash basin, normally there's water filled in the soap holder. This is what people do. They don't really care. Therefore, water gathers in it, and they leave soap in the water, and soap keeps getting melted and wasted due to it. In madaris, they're generally young kids, and kids are kids, and their parents generally behave the same. They waste a lot of soap, so it shall not be left in water at all. The soap holder shall not be placed in water either. If the soap holder has a stand at the bottom, then it's even better. Or the soap holder shall be screwed into the wall, hung to it. It should be fixed into it in a way that if one wants to take it out, then he can take it out. It's not permanently fixed. So the leftover drops in it that remain in there will drip down. So now the soap will not melt.
Soap holder should contain holes.
Yes, it's understood.
I've seen some soap dishes without holes.
So they come in this way as well.
I've seen more than one. It was a soap dish, very beautiful, made of porcelain, but it did not contain any holes. Soap was in the dish. It also had stands. It was filled with water. Obviously, used soap will have water.
You wouldn't have gone to a wise person's home. I've seen at wise people's homes that they have soap holders with a hole. In this case, the soap will keep getting melted in the soap holder. Perhaps their concept would be that in this way, the soap would stay a bit soft. It will indeed stay soft, but the water that's getting wasted, how would you give its account? And it's wasting the soap as well. Therefore, wise approach would be to have a soap holder with a hole in it, so that the water flows through it.
Shall we leave soap on our hands after applying it?
If you rub soap on hands and leave it as it is for a couple of seconds, or leave it for 1 minute, then it will soften and remove the dirt that was stuck to your hands, as clothes are also kept soaked in water. So there'll be a difference in Washing of the soaked and unsoaked clothes. Any such thing from which dirt or fat needs to be removed, then people normally know that it needs to be kept soaked in water. Same applies to the hand, that if such fat has stuck to your hand, which will not get removed immediately, then leave soap applied on it for 1 minute. The soap will remove the fat. Then wash the hands and they'll be clean. So depending on the need, then pieces of soap often keep getting melted and wasted. The small piece of leftover soap, what to do with it is that the leftover piece of the soap and the new soap that you have, or 2-3 pieces of the leftover soap, moisten them all with water or apply some kind of foam in between them, or scrape off the soap that is stuck in the soap holder. Then if you soften all these together and join them together, put them together and join them with a rubber band. So when we use it carefully in this manner and not in a rough manner, if we use it softly and gently, then these small pieces of soap will form a new soap.
Do you do like this?
Alhamdulillah.
Actually,
this has been my practice for many years.
And then using them, I think a person thinks, what will people say about it?
So when we will throw the leftover soap away, then what will we say on the Day of Judgment? One shall keep this in mind. If they're wasted unnecessarily, however, if those pieces were used to wash clothes, then it's fine. So it shall eventually be used. It shouldn't be thrown away. You left it in the water and it kept melting and started using a new one. The one you left melting in the water will be considered as wastage. Now even the small piece of soap is also a possession and is haram to waste possessions. It's also haram to waste water. So carelessness is prevalent in our society. Okay, to save oneself from what people will think, generally I've seen that when guests come, they normally place a new soap, even for a person like me. And those who act to be more smart, they keep the soap in its packaging, so that the guest comes to know that a brand new soap has been taken out. Now they are unaware of my nature, that I look for the leftover piece of soap, as I will wash hands with that piece of soap. I find it more convenient to wash hands with that piece of soap, as it creates more foam, whereas the new ones don't create as much foam. People use the soaps that are full of fragrance and that are quite expensive, which you can say that I do not like it at all. You can say so. I don't like it. It doesn't give foam easily. If you don't know about it, then experience it yourself. You guys are wealthy, so you bring expensive soaps. Learn from us poor people that how do we wash our hands and how we keep our soap.
Actually, you were using the word pin instead of foam, and thank you very much for clarifying you meant foam.
Is it? Even the newer generation will be unable to understand what is meant by it. So anyhow, try to use such soap which contains more caustic chemicals, as it will remove the dirt or fat from the hands quickly. If you try to use such soap and try to act upon my advice, then you'll pray for me, inshallah. You will save your money as well as your hands will also get cleaned. Whereas the expensive soaps do not serve the purpose any more than an ordinary soap. However, it is permissible to use an expensive and fragrant soap. No one should think that I'm calling it to be impermissible. I'm talking about saving money. Perhaps the poor will understand what I am trying to say. So it's fine if you keep an expensive soap for the guests in the house, but for your own usage, try to keep the same old soap so it becomes easier for you to wash your hands. At times, I don't get satisfied after washing hands with these expensive soaps. I still feel the greasiness. Wallahu ta'ala a'lamu wa rasuluhu a'lam. عز وجل وصلى الله تعالى عليه وآله وسلم صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد.
I've got a question in the court of Amir al-Sunnah, that for which companion the Holy Prophet صلى الله تعالى عليه وآله وسلم used to arrange pulpit in Medina. Please give me the answer.
حضرت سيدنا حسان بن ثابت رضي الله تعالى عنه. Maktabatul Madina's published book, Karamate Sahaba, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, has stated this. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Saying of Mustafa, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, one who recites thrice, La ilaha illallahul halimul kareem, subhanallahi rabbi samawati sab'i wa rabbil arshil azim. It's as if he has attained Shabay Qadr. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, La ilaha illallahu al-halimul kareem. سبحان الله رب السماوات السبع ورب العرش العظيم لا إله إلا الله الحليم الكريم سبحان الله رب السماوات السبع ورب العرش العظيم لا إله إلا الله الحليم الكريم سبحان الله رب السماوات السبع ورب العرش العظيم صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد. حضرت سيدنا عبد الله بن عمرو بن عاص رضي الله تعالى عنه states, the one who recites this dua three times before leaving a gathering, his sins are forgiven. And the one who recites it in a righteous gathering and a gathering of zikr, then goodness for him will be stamped upon. Let's recite it together. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Subhanakallahumma. Wa bihamdika. لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد.